Who knows Ric Flair? I seen some people just like, is that really Ric Flair? Like, yeah, that's Ric Flair. Anybody who knew Ric Flair at all. I mean, Ric Flair wasn't one of these people. He was a wrestler, by the way. The Nature Boy. Woo, that guy. He wasn't one of those people that was just Ric Flair sometimes. Ric Flair would, anywhere you see him in any interview, he would be Ric Flair. He didn't know how to take it off. I mean, everybody knows that wrestling is fake. Okay, newsflash, wrestling is fake. And Ric Flair will walk around and do these interviews, and he'd be just like that, screaming in the camera, woo, all the time. And as a kid, I just ate this up. I mean, this was the best thing. On Friday night, South Georgia, this is what we did. We watched wrestling, WCW wrestling. We loved it. Ric Flair was the ultimate entertainer. Ric Flair, he was one of those people that, like I said, he looked it, he walked it. He had several times where he was in the wrestling ring and he would do this little Ric Flair strut. You know, it was just, Ric Flair was an ultimate entertainer. I know you're saying, why are we talking about Ric Flair? Talking about him for a specific reason. It's because when Ric Flair went home, he took all of that off. It was all just an act. Ric Flair would do all these things, and he'd wear all these flashy things, and he'd say all these very arrogant things, as a lot of celebrities do. But when he went home, he was just Ric Flair. He's just a regular man. He played the part a lot, but then he took it off. And he took it off to live a normal life. He took it off to go fit in with his wife and kids. You didn't want Ric Flair to come to your line if you're a bank teller and yell woo at you, so he had to be a regular man. And I say that because, and I tell this story about Ric Flair because of one reason, is because we as Christians should walk in the truth every day. We should dress in it. We should feel it. We should know it. But we shouldn't go home and take it off. Our truth should stay on us all the time. It shouldn't be an act. It shouldn't be something that we're just like, oh, well, I'm going to come to church on Sunday, and I'm going to have on the truth. And I'm going to come to church on Wednesday, and I'm going to have on the truth. The truth is something that we should have on us all the time, 365 days a year. That's the only way that it was meant to be worn in the first place. Christ didn't come to give us this so that we could be part-time at anything. He came to give us this life-changing truth. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Before we can get too far, we have to identify what the truth is in the first place. John 1 and 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus the Christ, the gospel is the truth. That's the truth. If you want to know what the truth is, if you want to know out there in the world that's telling you all kinds of crazy things, just go pick up this Bible. And when you look at it, you should say, this is the truth. If God said it, this is the truth. There are folks out there saying, oh, well, no, well, you know, this is up for debate. No, just because it's up for debate with them doesn't change the fact that it's still the truth. And I want us to understand that as we move forward. I mean, the word, the truth, all of these things, the gospel is mentioned in the Bible a lot. When you go through the Bible in the New Testament, it's like on every page, somebody's talking about the word, the truth, the gospel message, all of these things. You can see it, and it's just there almost every page. The truth, the truth, the truth. Jesus says the truth will set you free. You see all these things about the truth. We should pay attention to that. And if you want to know why it's so important, because when the Bible was being written back in that time, there were people even then saying all these crazy things. That this ain't the truth, and this ain't the truth, and what this Jesus the Christ, no, that's not the truth. Well, actually, he is. Over 250 times in the New Testament alone. Think about that. 250 times in the New Testament alone, you'll get the truth or the word in some type of variance or form, something like that. 250 times. You want to know something about the truth? I mean, the real truth? The truth has characteristics. The truth doesn't change. Just because it's this today, it's not going to just up and change tomorrow. We see a lot of things like that where, like in the 1940s and 50s, this was this. But now it's something completely different. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not going to change. Jesus Christ is the solid truth that you can bank on. See, the truth is the truth whether we want to believe it or not. The truth is something that it doesn't need your opinion or my opinion to validate that it's the truth. If it's the truth, it's just going to be the truth regardless. Amen? There's so many things in the world that are just constantly changing all the time. It's hard to keep up with. Folks are saying this and that. And then we, are, as Christians, we're supposed to be able to decipher all this, and we can because we have this. The Bible says God has given us everything we need for good works, and good works is absolutely in the truth, understanding what it is and walking in it. You need to remember that as we move forward. You know, like a kid, you know, my kid oftentimes when he gets afraid, my 9-year-old, soon to be 10-year-old, or my 2-year-old for that matter, when Kennedy gets afraid, she runs to dad or mom. When there's confusion going on in their lives, when she's like, I don't know what to do here, she doesn't just sit there and be like, oh, well, you know, I'm just try to figure it out on my own. She runs to mother and dad because she depends on me for protection, because she knows that I'm going to look after her. We should be the same way when it comes down to the truth. We should be able to look at the truth and say, you know what? Everything that's going on, people are trying to lead me astray. I'm going to get right back to this book, which is the Bible, and I know it's going to keep me safe. I know my soul is going to be secure if I could just get back to this Bible, which is the truth. And oftentimes we're out there leaning on everything else but this Bible. Our own smarts, other folks, what some, you know, tradition we have. The only thing we should be doing is getting back to this Bible, which is the truth, which is of God. Amen? The disciples depended on the truth. The disciples, you'll read here in John 8, 31, 32, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Just think about it. The disciples, where they're depending on this truth, they were sitting at the feet of Jesus saying, you know what? I need to listen to what he has to say. How else am I going to go out and do the mission of what Jesus Christ has unless I have the truth? See, we have to be like that too. We can't go out and carry out the Great Commission if we don't have the truth, if we're not teaching these things that are in this book. Not teaching what we think needs to be taught, not teaching what people have been teaching before, but actually opening the Bible and teaching what thus says the Lord. Then we'll be successful in our endeavors as to proclaiming the gospel of Christ. But that's something else we'll talk about there in a minute. The truth has benefits. The truth is not something that's just like, oh, well, you know, it's the truth. I can take it or leave it, and I'm going to just take it just because the Bible says so. Sometimes we look at it like that, right? Sometimes the Bible says all these things. It's like, well, you know what? I'm going to do it just to do it just because, you know, I'm a Christian. Instead of realizing that the truth has benefits, just think about it. Where else is salvation found? What other message on earth can you go to that will show you how to get yourself right with God? There's no other place besides this Bible. Without this, we wouldn't have it. Just think, if God didn't give us this Bible, where would we be? How would we be able to get our souls squared away with him? Romans 1:16, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The power of God for salvation is what this gospel is. It's not me. I can stand up here and scream it until the cows come home. Chad can stand up here and scream it. Jim can get up here if he wants to. That doesn't change a thing. The gospel has the power. I'm powerless. All I can do is just say what it says. The true power is in the word of God. Amen? So it has power. And this scripture is, of course, comes from God. This scripture is not like a something that a lot of folks will say out there. Oh, well, you know, it's okay. It's just fine. No, this scripture comes from God. Every bit of it. It's important to know this about the truth. It's important to know that we should have concrete evidence. It's important to know that we have things that are absolutely there that will guide us in the way we're supposed to be doing. It comes from a God, and it gives us instruction. How would we know how to walk in our lives? How would we know if we didn't have this? When we get off the path, when we start doing things that we shouldn't do, how would we get put back on the path if it wasn't for the truth that would guide us there? I know me, I need some correction from time to time. My wife says I need it often, but I'll say from time to time. How else would I be able to get that if I couldn't pick this up and say, you know what? God said I shouldn't do that. God said that I don't need to look at it that way. God said I need to love my brothers and sisters regardless. How else would I know that if it wasn't for this truth? I wouldn't. Let me tell you something else about it. One more benefit is that we should be joyful about this truth. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Always, it says, without exception. We read this all the time, and I read through Philippians 4, and I'm trying to, in a rush, to get to, you know, another verse or something. It's like, I don't need to pass over this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We should have that attitude when it comes down to this truth, to this gospel, that we should be rejoicing about it, that we have it. There are folks who went years, hundreds of years without having this truth, and all they did was want to get it. They did everything they could, lost their lives, all that, just to get this book. And now we have it, and we should be joyful because of that. Now we talked about what the truth is, I want to talk about what the truth is not. I think we should have to do that. It's a shame that we have to do that nowadays, but we should have to, we should spend a little time in that. The truth is not based off of human interference. If you're a Saints fan, I'm sorry for this picture. I know it still hurts. This happened in the Super Bowl last year, and this guy was about to catch the ball in the black there, and as you can see, he's getting tackled before the ball gets there. That's illegal. That's called pass interference. And if he would have caught the ball, he'd have went on to victory. The Saints were going to win the Super Bowl if this guy would have just caught that ball or if the referees would have called it, but that didn't happen. This guy ran interference, and the rest is history. They didn't win the Super Bowl. The truth is no different. There are things that are trying to run interference with us from getting the truth. See, if we get the truth, if we obey this and take it to the way it's supposed to be taken, we're going to get to the victory. We're going to get to the finish line. Revelation 2:10 says we're supposed to be faithful until death, and we're going to be able to be faithful if we can have the truth. And what happens is folks come along and they try to throw things in our way and confuse us, and it just turns out to be a bad situation. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's based off of factual things. It's not based off of emotions. When you go look up this unrighteousness and ungodliness, those are definitions that you can clearly look up. That's not something that we just have to make up on our own. When you see ungodliness and unrighteousness, you know, I can go look this up. It's actually factual. It's not just based off of my emotion. You can go see it. That's what it is. See, we look at life like this, and I've done this before. We have our beliefs, we have our emotions, and we have our feelings. I believe that we should, you know, start worship services at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. You know, my emotions around it is I don't like to wake up that early. I want to, you know, do it a different time, or I want to wake up earlier. And then I look at my feelings, and then I say, oh, well, so on and so forth. And then I get to what the truth is. The truth is, the elders decide what time. We as a congregation, why should we be mad about it? There's so many things like that where we look at certain things and we look at it through this lens first of the way we feel about it until we get to the truth. And then it's like, oh, well, I don't want to do that. Well, of course we don't want to do it if we go through that first. If I went through my beliefs and emotions and feelings, I don't want to do what the truth is. Can't look at it like that. We have to look at the truth first. I have to put Christ in the middle, and our traditions, our beliefs, our feelings, and our emotions should go around what Christ's word is instead of the other way around. For a long time, even when I was a new Christian, I would say, well, I need to be hanging out with the brethren, but it's Saturday, and I don't want to go do that on a Saturday night, and I got some other things to do. And I go through all that. Then it's like, well, I need to be with the brethren. And it's like, well, I don't know if I have time to be with the brethren all of a sudden. See, it should be the other way around. I should say, I need to be with the brethren. Do I got other things to do? Of course. It doesn't matter. My priority is I need to be with the brethren. You can put that in for studying. Oh, I got all these things I need to do. I got to, you know, take care of this. I got to go get the oil changed. I got to put gas in the car. I'm tired and all this stuff. And by the time we look at studying, it's like, how on earth can I possibly study with my schedule? But if you flip it around and say, I need to study God's word and everything else is going to support that, then we'll have time to do that. I had to learn it myself. That's the only way I can make it today. My number one thing is to do godly things first instead of worrying about doing what I want to do. And let me tell you, lastly here, well, almost lastly, it's not based off of the dictionary. Go look up the dictionaries and terms right now, and you'll see that whoa, that may not be what you thought it was. When you go look up simple things like gender or male or female, and you go look that up in the dictionary, it ain't what we thought, because the dictionary is owned by somebody. Somebody owns the dictionary that's putting that out. Let me tell you the truth, there is no owner except for God. So don't have to worry about pleasing anybody, don't have to worry about doing any of those things. The truth is there just because. You go look in the dictionary and run your life off a dictionary, I guarantee you in 10 years that definition will have changed. Somebody did a study on that to what was true in the dictionary 50 years ago versus what it is now, and a lot of words that we thought were concrete are now iffy. That's not the truth. The truth is this. And lastly, the truth is not based off of the majority vote. It doesn't matter if the majority is doing it or not. The world is out there saying, oh, well, we can go do all these wonderful things. I don't have to, you know, go to worship to please God. I could just feel like I'm close to God. I'm a spiritual person. That's what they say. I'm a spiritual person. I don't need to go to worship. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says something different than that. So why would we go based off of what the majority of the folks are doing? We should be going based off what the Bible has to say, which is the truth. Now that we talked about the truth, we're going to talk about walking in it. How do we walk in this truth? How do we get to the point where we talked about there in 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 there? How do we do that? First, we got to learn from the Master. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. That's what he said in John 14, 6. We need to learn from him. This should be a Christ-centered message here when we're talking about the truth. If we're going to talk about the truth, we have to talk about Christ. And Christ did some things that were just amazing when it came down to the truth. And we'll go through some of those things. First, Christ used the truth. Luke 4 and 4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil's there trying to tempt him. He could have went and did a whole bunch of things. He could have said, I'm Jesus of Christ. How dare you talk to me? But you know what he went to? He went back to the truth. Says, I'm not going to do anything fancy. I'm just going to go to the truth. Man shall not live by bread alone. That's wonderful that Jesus did that. We can learn from that. We get in situations, let's learn. Let's use the truth. Matthew 10, 34 through 39, Jesus did something else that was very nice. He taught the truth. People are wondering about the kingdom and wondering about how are they supposed to treat certain things. And he says, I didn't come to bring you together but to be a sword. He taught this truth. People are sitting there at his footsteps wondering what's going on. Jesus, at every time he could, he was teaching this truth. And this is remarkable for me. Matthew 26 and 36 there, Jesus lived the truth. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and saith unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Think about this. We know we're supposed to pray. The Bible tells us to pray when we get in situations that we, you know, are needing some help in, some encouragement in. And Jesus being the Son of Man, Jesus being the perfect, the divine being, he still went and prayed. That is amazing to me. We should have that same mind frame. If Jesus the Christ was doing that, if he lived the truth in such a manner that he would go do that, then what should we be doing if we're just mere humans? Amen? We should be going out and doing the same thing that he did. We have to internalize the truth. We have to have like post-it notes of the truth in our head. We can't have the truth there as something that we just have from time to time or take it off like Ric Flair. We have to absolutely internalize. We have to know what it is. We have to have daily studies. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Like I said, I'm going to probably mention this every lesson that I get up here and speak is because we need to study God's word. I'm so impressed when I come across people who just know God's word because they want to know God's word. That's impressive. That's what we need to be doing, knowing God's word just because. And then we need to trust God's word when we read it. Not from the fact of, well, God said this, and then I'm going to go on about my business. No, God said this, and it's the truth. So when God says it, I have to either go take it as the truth or go on about my business and not take it as the truth. And if we're going on about our business, then we're having doubts in it, then we don't take it as the truth. When God says it, that's it. There's no more discussion. There's no more trying to get around it. It's what God said. And we have to trust that. We have to have it just buried deep in our heart. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, Psalm 119:11, your word I've hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Hide these words there. Right here in our heart. That's where we should be at when it comes down to this truth. We have TV shows out there, right, that are saying all these things. We're looking at TV shows. Let me tell you, when I first became a Christian, I would practically look at anything. I mean, no sugarcoating it. I would practically look at anything. If it come on, I'd watch it. And the longer I'm a Christian, the more I'm like, I have no business watching that. None. Because that's saying something that's contrary to what this Bible is. At the end of Romans there, it says it's wrong for those to practice these things, but for the folks who approve of it, it's wrong. It's just as wrong. We can't do that and think that everything's going to be okay, because it's not. We have to be able to know that the longer we look at this stuff, the longer it just starts to become normal. No respect for each other and killing and hating and all this other stuff. The longer we look at it, the longer we're like, oh, well, you know, that's not that bad. No, it's really bad and it's really evil. And we've just sat there and kind of indoctrinated ourselves with it. We have to be careful with that and know that that's not the truth. Amen? What about things that we read? There's so many things out there that are saying, oh, well, you know, this is great and that is great. If you go, you know, Google, and please, you know, be careful if you do that. But if you're going to go Google some biblical topics and say, what is this? What is faith? What is this? Listen, a lot of it is dead wrong. You know, I tried this once. What is faith? And it was like pages upon pages upon pages of what faith is. And I'm looking at it, it's like, none of this is faith. None of this is faith. This is what people want faith to be. This is what people think faith is, but this is not faith according to what this Bible says. And we have to know this word to be able to decipher through it. And one more thing, reading the Bible with an agenda, that's not the truth. Going into the Bible and trying to, you know, find a passage that fits what you want to do, that's not the truth. I've seen that so many times. If this is the Bible and this is the context, and then you take this verse out of the Bible and set it over here, this verse can mean anything that you want it to. This has to be in context, these Bible verses. I see a lot of people doing that. Where it's like, oh, well, this is in the Bible. Let me take this verse out of the Bible, out of his home, and put it over here and say, oh, well, you know, that means this now. Yeah, it means that now because you took it out of his context, out of his home. We can't read the Bible like that. We have to read the Bible for what it says and understand it in its totality. Pleasure is another one. 2 Timothy 4:3, we read that this morning. Because of our own desires, pleasure, I'm telling you, that's not the truth, what we want to do and how we want to do it. That's not the truth either. Have to be careful with all these things. Do I sound like a broken record up here? Maybe. Paul says, it's no trouble for me to say these things to you again over and over again, because they're important. Really important that we get this down, that when we leave here, we're not looking at things the way that we want to. We're looking at them the way that God wants us to look at them. I give an example. You know, you don't want to be tricked by certain things like youth ministries. I hear a lot of people will fight tooth and nail about having a youth ministry. And all I'm saying is, I just can't find it. I never said it was wrong. I never said it was right. I'm just saying I can't find it in here. That's all I'm saying. If this is the truth, I'm not saying, oh, well, you know, this is a test of fellowship. You have a youth ministry. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying I can't find where we need to have a youth minister in this Bible. That's what I'm saying. I just can't find it. And I trust this is the truth. That's all I'm saying. What about church getting together and feeding all the homeless out there? I can't find it. I can see where the church is taking care of the saints. I can see where the church is doing all these things, but I can't find where the church is doing some other things where it's like, well, I'm going to go do this as a collective group. Now, individually, yeah, we can do that, but I just can't find where the church said, you know what, I'm going to go help these people who are not in the body. I just can't find it. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I can't find it, church, and I know this is the truth. I believe with everything in me that this is the truth, and I'm saying I can't find it. And we have people doing things like that, and it's like, well, I don't even want to lead anybody to Christ. I could go feed these people, and I could go do all these things. What good is it for somebody to be full and happy and sleeping warm and all this other stuff, and they don't know Christ? And we have no intentions of getting them to know Christ. What good is that? We need to be teaching Christ Jesus. He's the one who can save souls. He's the one who can make everything okay. He's the one who can fix all of these sinful problems that we have. Let's teach Christ Jesus. Let's teach people all the benefits of being in Christ. You go trust in Christ, everything will be squared away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we have to remember, because that's the truth. Caring is sharing, and you'll see that in a lot of congregations saying, oh, we need to care, and you need to do this, and we need to have all these wonderful things. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. But regardless of the circumstances, regardless how we feel about it, we should know the truth. We should use it. We shouldn't just think about it as something that the old people need to have, or the young people need to have. Every one of us need to just wrap ourselves in this blanket of truth every day. Because you think you got it, right when you think you got it, is the moment when things will start to sneak up on you. I'll say this now, and I've said it before. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be tricked today. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? Please come and take advantage of me today. I feel vulnerable, and I want somebody just completely to come and sweep me away based off of all these lies. Please come do that. I'm just looking for somebody to come. Nobody wakes up and says that. So that means that we're walking around thinking that everything's okay. And it's not. 1 Corinthians 1:18, my last passage that I'll read today. For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Let this message be the power of God. Let this message truly be what God intended for it to be. Soul-saving information. Things that are going to change us, things that are going to renew us, things that are going to do all great, wonderful things in Christ. Just like we love so many other things, if we say we love God, we have to love the truth too. I know I've been talking a lot about it, but this is just something that we should just have. Like, almost like Ric Flair didn't want to take off his costume, we ought to have this truth ingrained in us so that when we see something that's contrary to God's word, we could just easily identify it and deal with it the way that God wants us to. If you're here and you're a Christian and you hadn't been walking in the way that you need to be, the beautiful thing about this truth is Christ said, no matter what you do, as long as you repent, as long as you're sincere about it, ask for forgiveness, I'll take you back. And that's a good thing. And if you're not a Christian, if you have not put on Christ in baptism, won't you come and join the royal family? Won't you come and join some folks that are going to be together forever? Won't you come and join God's team that he's talked about in this Bible, that you can read about in this Bible? Won't you come and join that and have your soul and have all your sins washed away? Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.